Welcome to The Deep Dive, the show where we take a stack of your sources, articles, research, our own notes, and really pull out the most important bits of knowledge, giving you a shortcut to being truly well-informed.
Yeah, cutting through the noise.
Exactly. Today, we're diving into a really fascinating collection of recent AI innovations, all from June 17th, 2025. And this particular deep dive is actually brought to you as a new episode of the podcast AI Unraveled.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's created and produced by Etienne Newman. He's a senior engineer and a passionate soccer dad up in Canada.
Good combination.
Right. So if you like what you hear today and you definitely want to stay on top of AI, make sure you like and subscribe to both The Deep Dive and AI Unraveled.
Definitely worth doing.
All right, let's unpack this. We've got a fresh stack of insights here from AI's Daily Chronicle, June 17th, 2025 innovations. It covers, well, everything from self-improving AI to geopolitical shifts and even some incredible medical breakthroughs.
And what's really fascinating here is just how quickly AI is impacting so many different areas, often in ways you wouldn't expect.
It's true.
We're truly seeing a daily evolution, you know, and understanding these little shifts day by day is kind of key to grasping where technology and maybe our whole world is headed. It's almost impossible to keep up otherwise.
It really feels that way. So let's kick things off with what's happening at the absolute cutting edge of AI, how it's getting smarter, deeper, maybe even more human-like in its understanding. Mm-hmm. And here's where it gets really interesting. MIT researchers, they've found methods allowing AI to literally refine its own performance. AI teaching itself. I mean, that sounds almost like science fiction. How are they actually doing that?
That's right. This new research from MIT introduces a system they call SEAL. And what SEAL does, essentially, is allow AI models to generate their own self-edits.
Self-edits? Like notes?
Kind of. Think of it like AI writing little notes to itself, instructions, really, for creating synthetic data and then setting parameters to update its own internal weights. It's like a continuous trial and error process. And it's driven by a reinforcement learning loop that rewards the model when it generates self-edits that actually lead to better performance down the line.
And the results were pretty striking, weren't they? I think I read something about it actually outperforming GPT 4.1 in some areas.
Yes, that was the really surprising finding. In certain knowledge tasks, the AI actually learned more effectively from its own generated notes than it did from learning materials produced by the much larger, incredibly sophisticated GPT 4.1.
Wow.
And in puzzle solving, the improvement was just dramatic. It jumped from basically 0% success with the standard methods to an impressive 72.5% after it learned how to train itself effectively.
That's a massive jump.
It really is. The real insight here, I think, is how this leap in self-supervised learning speeds up the path toward more autonomous, more adaptable AI systems. You know, less human handholding needed for future improvements. It's a fundamental shift, potentially, in how we might train and evolve AI.
A really profound shift. Okay, speaking of major leaps, Minimax, a company we've definitely been watching, they just debuted an open-weight reasoning model, and the headline grabber is this unprecedented 1 million token context.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond just, you know, handling more text, what does that actually unlock for AI's capabilities? What can it do with all that context?
Well, Minimax's new M1 model is pretty significant. They're claiming it has the world's largest context window. So, yeah, it can handle a mass of 1 million input tokens.
Okay.
But it's not just the input size. It also supports an 80,000 token thinking budget for its outputs, which is also quite large. And while it apparently performs well across the board, M1 seems to particularly excel in software engineering and agentic tool use.
Agentic tool use.
Yeah, using tools like code interpreters or APIs. And it massively outperforms other models in those long context benchmarks.
Right. And what about the cost? Training something like that usually costs a fortune.
That's another interesting part. They introduced something called CICO, which is a new reinforcement learning algorithm. They say it made their training process twice as fast compared to existing methods.
Twice as fast?
Yeah. And the startup stated that, thanks to CICO, the full training run for M1 cost just $535,000. And it took only 3 weeks, which, you know, drastically undercuts the budgets you usually hear about for rival systems.
That's incredibly cheap for that scale.
It is. And the surprising implication here, I think, is how this enables truly agentic AI, models that can not just summarize vast amounts of info, but actually reason and act on really complex, multifaceted problems. They can move beyond simple task execution towards like intelligent problem solving across entire domains.
So tackling things that might have needed whole teams before.
Exactly. Sifting through mountains of data, yeah. Legal documents, research papers, technical manuals, you name it.
It really sounds like understanding vast amounts of data, whether it's text or something else, is a kind of a recurring theme here.
Yeah.
What about AI's ability to actually see and interpret the visual world? Are we seeing similar breakthroughs there? Is it getting better at, you know, understanding what it sees?
We absolutely are. Mm. There's new research showing AI models are getting much closer to human-level visual reasoning. They're learning things like object permanence, understanding an object still exists even when hidden, and the relationships between objects.
How do they test that?
Well, that's one study is really fascinating. They tested AI models on 4.7 million odd one-out decisions. You know, show three pictures, which one doesn't belong.
Okay.
And they used nearly 2,000 common objects. The goal was just to see how these models naturally organize and understand the world visually without being explicitly told categories.
And what did they find?
They found that the AI spontaneously developed 66 core ways of thinking about objects. And these categories, things like animals, tools, food, they very closely matched how humans mentally categorize things.
So it's not just recognizing patterns and pixels. It's actually building some kind of conceptual understanding, like it knows what a chair is for.
Exactly. That's the key takeaway. The AI's conceptual map showed a really strong alignment with human brain activity patterns, especially in the parts of the brain we use for processing object categories.
Wow.
So this research suggests these AI models are building genuine internal concepts and meanings for objects, not just, you know, memorizing patterns.
That's a big leap.
It really is. It's a leap toward truly embodied AI, AI that can understand and interact with a physical world in a much more sophisticated way. Think about improved scene understanding for robotics.
So robots can navigate better.
Right. Navigate and interact safely and effectively in complex environments. And also for things like augmented and virtual reality, making those experiences much richer and more intuitive.
It's incredible just how fast AI capabilities are expanding across different kinds of intelligence. But how are these, you know, cutting edge advancements actually translating into more tangible impacts in industries or even our daily lives?
Good question.
Let's maybe look at some real-world applications, starting with automation. I saw a note about an $800 million boost for autonomous cleaning robots, and they're shifting to a subscription model. So my Roomba might start charging monthly soon.
Huh. Maybe not your home one just yet. But yes, this indicates a pretty significant trend. Robot as a service, or ROS, is really taking off.
For ROS.
Okay. Securing $800 million to scale up autonomous cleaning robots, mainly for commercial spaces like offices, warehouses, airports. Mm-hmm. It shows these AI bots are becoming, you know, viable, maybe even essential business tools for janitorial and maintenance operations.
It's all about efficiency, I guess.
Exactly. Operational efficiency through automation.
And sticking with movement, Samsara's AI driver coaching software is apparently claiming significant reductions in commercial fleet accidents. That sounds like a huge safety win.
Yes, Samsara's real-time AI driver coaching has reported some major safety improvements. It really highlights AI's proven value in logistics and transportation.
Right.
Well, it's worth noting that adoption hurdles, you know, cost, integration, driver acceptance, they still remain challenges for widespread implementation, especially maybe for smaller trucking fleets.
Right. Makes sense. Okay, so what about content creation and advertising? It feels like every platform is jumping on the AI bandwagon. TikTok and Reddit seem to be leaning in heavily.
Oh, absolutely. TikTok just unveiled a whole suite of AI tools. They're designed to automate things like video editing, captioning, syncing music, even generating interactive content.
Automating the creative process, basically.
To a large extent, yeah. And for marketers, they've introduced features to generate like 5-second video ad clips from just a product photo or short text description.
Wow.
These new text and image to video features are part of their Simpsony product, which is their suite for brands using generative AI for ads. Plus, they've launched things called Symphony Digital Avatars and AI dubbing for global translations.
Digital avatars, like AI presenters?
Pretty much, yeah. Custom or stock avatars for branded content.
And what about Reddit? What are they doing with AI? It's mainly ads there too, right?
Precisely. Reddit has debuted new AI-powered ad optimization tools. These are aimed squarely at improving campaign targeting, helping advertisers generate better ad content, and boosting engagement metrics.
So smarter ads on Reddit.
Smarter, more contextually relevant ads, hopefully.
Yeah.
The implications here are pretty substantial. You know, TikTok's tools could really redefine user creativity, maybe accelerate the dominance of AI-generated media online.
Yeah, you can see that happening.
And for Reddit, well, smarter ads are good for advertisers, but some might argue it could come at the expense of, say, user privacy or maybe even content authenticity if AI-generated content starts flooding discussions.
That's always the trade-off, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're listening and you're curious about how these kinds of tools are actually built, or maybe you even want to build your own apps with AI and machine learning, you should remember Etienne Newman's AI Unraveled Builder's Toolkit. It's got a whole series of AI tutorial PDFs, guides for AI and machine learning certification, and even AI tutorial audios and videos. It's designed to help you actually start building with AI.
Sounds like a great resource.
Yeah, definitely check it out. You can find links to the toolkit right there in the show notes. Okay, let's broaden our view a bit. Let's explore the ripple effects of AI, shifting focus to the wider AI ecosystem. We're talking corporate partnerships, some interesting paradoxes, and the ethical stuff that's becoming more and more vital.
Right.
First up, the alliance between OpenAI and Microsoft. It was once seen as this powerhouse partnership, but now reports say tensions are escalating, maybe even reaching a boiling point. What's really going on there? What's the core issue?
Yeah, this partnership, which has been so central to AI's recent boom, it definitely seems to be under strain. The core issues really boil down to differing visions, struggles over control, and frankly, competing commercial interests.
Like what specifically?
Well, one of the latest flare-ups apparently revolves around OpenAI's reported $3 billion acquisition of a company called Windsurf. OpenAI reportedly wants to withhold the intellectual property from Microsoft.
Why?
Because Microsoft has its own rival product, GitHub Copilot, which competes directly. So it's a turf war, essentially.
It sounds like it goes deeper than just one acquisition, though. Are we actually talking about a potential breakup of this power duo?
It seems possible. OpenAI is reportedly considering what sources are calling the nuclear option, accusing Microsoft of anti-competitive behavior and pushing for a federal review of their whole partnership.
Wow, that is nuclear.
It is. Plus, Microsoft was apparently a key holdout in OpenAI's recent restructuring into a public benefit corporation. And OpenAI has also been actively trying to reduce its dependency on Microsoft. Look at their recent partnership with Google for cloud compute, announced just last week.
So diversifying.
Exactly. If this partnership really does unravel, the breakup could significantly reshape the entire enterprise AI market. It could force companies using their tech to pick sides or at least seriously diversify their AI strategies. Big implications.
Huge potential shift. And speaking of strategy and big implications, this raises another important question. Companies are pouring massive amounts of money into AI right now. But a new McKinsey report says very few are actually seeing significant ROI. How can that be? It seems like a paradox.
It truly is a paradox. McKinsey actually calls it the Gene AI paradox. They found that nearly 80% of companies they surveyed are using generative AI technology in some form.
Okay, so high adoption.
Right. But a similar number, almost 80%, report almost no material impact on their earnings. Their bottom line hasn't really changed much because of AI, despite the investment.
So why the disconnect? Are the tools not good enough?
McKinsey suggests it's not necessarily the tools themselves. It's more that companies are largely using these general-purpose AI tools, think chatbots for customer service or summarizing documents. These things certainly make small improvements, maybe boost productivity slightly.
But they're hard to measure.
Exactly. They make improvements that are hard to quantify directly in dollars and cents on the balance sheet. And McKinsey argues the bigger issue is a failure to fundamentally rebuild business processes around AI agents.
Ah, so not just plugging AI into old ways of doing things.
Precisely. True success, they argue, requires enterprises to actually redesign their workflows, their org structures, to leverage AI strategically rather than just inserting it into existing processes.
So it's more of a leadership and change management challenge than a tech problem.
That's what McKinsey concludes. It's primarily a leadership challenge. They're calling for companies to move beyond these broad, often unfocused experimentation phases and drive more strategic, top-down transformations to really unlock AI's value. It requires rethinking how work gets done.
That really highlights the need for, well, strategic understanding and practical application of AI, doesn't it? It's not just about playing with the tech.
Not if you want real business impact.
And you know, if you're looking to truly leverage AI in your own career and move beyond just experimentation, getting certified can be a real game changer. It shows you have that deeper practical understanding.
Good point.
And Etienne Newman's AI Cert prep books are designed exactly for that. They cover key certifications like the Azure AI Engineer Associate, the Google Cloud Generative AI Leader Certification, AWS Certified AI Practitioner, Azure AI Fundamentals, and the Google Machine Learning Certification, too.
It's a comprehensive list.
It really is. They're all available over at djmgatetech.com, and of course, we'll put the links in our show notes. Definitely worth checking out if you want to level up your AI skills. Okay, moving to another facet of the broader AI ecosystem, geopolitics. Taiwan has tightened its export controls on critical semiconductor equipment. The target seems to be preventing tech transfer to China's leading AI chip makers, specifically Huawei and SMIC.
Yeah.
What prompted this specific move now?
Right. So on June 10th, Taiwan's International Trade Administration updated its list of strategic high-tech commodities. Mm. They added about 601 entities from various countries, but significantly, mainland China's Huawei and SMIC are now on this restricted list.
And the timing.
Well, this decision came shortly after some revelations, actually, from a Tech Insights teardown analysis that TSMC, the giant Taiwanese chipmaker, had apparently manufactured over 2 million advanced Ascend 910B logic dies that ended up with Huawei. It seems they went through shell companies, basically circumventing existing U.S. restrictions.
So a loophole was discovered.
It appears so. When TSMC found out where these chips, which they made, actually ended up inside Huawei's advanced AI processors, they reportedly halted shipments immediately and notified U.S. authorities. So Taiwan's move seems like a direct response to reinforce controls.
So this isn't just Taiwan acting alone. It feels like they're reinforcing international efforts, mainly led by the U.S., to curb China's access to the most advanced AI technology.
That seems to be the case.
Is this move truly a game changer for China's AI ambitions, though? Or is it more like, you know, closing a barn door after the horse has bolted, given the existing U.S. restrictions?
That's the debate. It definitely escalates the global tech decoupling trend, no doubt. And it impacts China's access to high-end AI compute by specifically cutting off access to Taiwan's expertise in plant construction technologies, materials, and certain types of equipment needed for advanced chip making.
So it could slow them down.
It could potentially set back China's efforts to develop new generations of AI semiconductors indigenously. However, many industry analysts suggest the practical impact might actually be somewhat limited.
Why?
Because most Taiwanese suppliers had reportedly already pulled back significantly from working directly with Huawei and SMIC after the earlier, broader U.S. restrictions were put in place.
Mm.
So this move is seen by some more as a, quote, reinforcement of existing policy and a tightening of existing loopholes rather than some sudden dramatic new barrier.
Okay.
The general consensus seems to be that without access to the most advanced manufacturing equipment, particularly from Dutch firm ASML, due to U.S. pressure, Huawei and SMIC will likely remain stuck at the 7-nanometer technology node or maybe a flawed 5-nanometer node for quite some time.
Got it. Okay, let's shift gears completely now to the very human side of AI. Specifically, its hidden impact on children. There's a UK study out. What's it revealing about how AI is affecting kids?
Yeah, this UK study really tries to get under the surface. It highlights potential cognitive, emotional, and even social effects of early and increasing AI exposure for children.
Oh.
And it calls for, you know, urgent ethical standards to guide development and deployment.
What kind of effects did they find?
Well, one interesting thing was finding quite stark usage disparities. Private school children in the UK showed 52% usage rates of AI tools.
Compared to
just 18% usage among children in state schools. Those in private schools also reported using it more frequently, and their teachers seemed more aware of AI tools as well.
Interesting socioeconomic divide there.
Definitely. And environmental concerns even popped up as an unexpected factor. Some children apparently refused to use AI after learning about its significant energy and water consumption during training and operation.
Wow, kids are paying attention. But were there positives too?
Oh yes, absolutely. The study found children are primarily using AI tools for creativity and learning assistance. Many actually reported that AI helps them communicate their ideas better. And teachers, they're leveraging AI too. About 66% reported using it, mainly for things like lesson planning, creating presentations, designing homework assignments.
So a complex picture, benefits and potential downsides.
Very much so. Which actually segues quite nicely into the whole AI for good theme. While we absolutely need to consider the challenges and ethics,
right,
we're also seeing these incredible advancements, particularly in areas like brain-computer interfaces or BCIs, The medical applications are just astounding.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier, we recently heard about a patient in China playing games just weeks after getting a BCI implant.
It's truly mind-boggling stuff. I mean, imagine, what if paralyzed stroke survivors could actually control a robotic arm just with their thoughts? Or maybe autistic children could engage in therapy through games they control with their mind?
Well, these possibilities are rapidly becoming reality. Researchers are developing BCI systems that can read electrical brain activity, often just through electrodes placed on the scalp, non-invasively.
Okay.
And then they use AI algorithms to translate those brain signals into commands for external devices, computers, robotic limbs, wheelchairs, games.
How does that work exactly?
It's essentially a closed-loop system. The electrodes collect the brain activity. The AI interprets the signals linked to specific intentions, like wanting to move left or right or focusing attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the system provides real-time feedback based on that mental focus or intention. This allows the brain to practice tasks, essentially, even if the body itself can't physically move yet.
So it's like retraining the brain.
Exactly. And we're seeing real examples. At the Holland Bloorview Kids Rehabilitation Hospital in Toronto, researchers successfully used BCIs as a form of recreational therapy for autistic children. They allowed kids to control remote-controlled cars just using their mental focus.
And did it help?
Apparently, yes. The program helped improve attention spans and engagement, often without the stress sometimes associated with more traditional therapy interventions. And for stroke rehabilitation, the potential is huge. A comprehensive review published just back in March 2025 found that BCIs show significant promise. You know, traditional stroke rehab often requires some remaining motor function, which leaves many severely paralyzed patients, maybe 30-50% of survivors, with complete chronic paralysis, with very few options. BCIs offer hope by creating these new pathways for the brain to practice movement intentions and potentially rewire itself over time.
Even without physical movement.
Precisely. And researchers at the University of Melbourne are even pioneering a less invasive approach called the Stentrode. They actually deploy the brain interface through blood vessels like a stent.
Wow.
Avoiding the need for invasive open skull surgery. This device effectively remains invisible to the brain tissue, reducing rejection risk, while still enabling that direct neural control of external devices. It's incredible potential.
What an absolutely incredible journey we've taken today. Just looking at one day's worth of AI news, we've gone from AI learning to teach itself to massive corporate partnerships, potentially fracturing geopolitical tech tensions. Then we saw AI cleaning robots becoming a service, new creative tools flooding social media, and then shifted to the really profound human impact from studies on our kids to these life-changing medical devices like brain-computer interfaces.
Yeah, the breadth is staggering.
It really is. It's just so clear that AI isn't some far-off future concept anymore. It's here. It's evolving literally daily, and it's impacting pretty much every facet of our lives.
And, you know, this really raises an important question for everyone listening. As AI permeates our daily news, our social feeds, our workplaces, our homes.
Right.
How do we as individuals and maybe as a whole society ensure we're not just passive consumers of this powerful technology?
Right.
How do we become informed participants who are actively shaping its ethical development and making sure it's deployed beneficially? It's a challenge we all kind of share, I think.
That's a really crucial point for all of us to think about. And, you know, to truly keep pace with these incredibly rapid changes and maybe even become a builder or a strategic leader in the AI space yourself. Remember to check out Etienne Newman's resources we mentioned. There's the AI Unraveled Builder's Toolkit for hands-on learning and his comprehensive AI certification prep books over at djnkit.com.
Great resources for taking that next step.
Absolutely. They can really help you get certified in AI, covering things like Azure AI Engineer, Google Cloud Generative AI Leader, AWS AI Practitioner, Azure AI Fundamentals, Google Machine Learning, seriously boosting your career. All the links, as always, are right there in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Until the next one, stay curious and keep learning.